You're listening to Show Me Your Mic, a show that interviews other podcasters about their workflows, gear, and thoughts on podcasting. Your host is Chris Enns, a podcaster who's hoping to learn more about the craft by talking to fellow broadcasters.
Hello, welcome to Show Me Your Mic. This is episode number 14, and I'm privileged to have Hattie Cook here with me. She is the producer, associate producer, and now host, actually, and account manager, all sorts of things at 5x5.tv. If you listen to episode 8 of this show, I believe it is, don't quote me on that because I don't have it in front of me, Mr. Dan Benjamin, who is the, the Grand Poobah? I don't know what he calls
Founder?
Yeah, that's probably better than Grand Poobah of 5x5. If you happen to be listening live, we're also streaming out onto the 5x5 machine, streaming machine. So that's what you're hearing on the specials channel. It'll probably be published out there as well. I just thought I wanted to have Hattie on because I wanted to chat about the role of, well, originally when I approached you, I should say hello, Hattie, first of all.
Oh, hello.
Welcome
Thanks
to
for
the
having
show.
Me on.
Yeah. This is your first interview. Interviewee. You're the first time being you're an interviewee, I guess.
Yes, this is my very first time being interviewed. Audio wise, I guess. I think Danielle interviewed me the other day for something on 5x5, but that's that doesn't really count.
Right.
It's internal. So.
Yeah. Well, that just went live actually, which helps me out. Those on the 5x5 blog, which you can find at blog.5x5.tv, and so I'll just be reading those questions again. Actually, that's all I do. Saves me. Research.
Just copy and paste.
Yeah. So polar bears.
What?
Just go off the script.
Yes, exactly.
And where are you from? Actually, no, I will actually use some of the, now that I'm looking
it's
at
fine it. If you use some of them. That's not a problem at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of repeat. Just for folks who don't know maybe where and why you came to be on 5x5, what did you have a, were you, did you grow up in the wanting to be a podcaster? Producer
no,
or host?
Actually, no. My background is in my degree is in communication design. So my background is in design and graphic design and things like that. And I graduated last May from Texas State University, and this job kind of fell into my lap in a way. So it's interesting. I had been a fan, not quite a jackal, but I had been a fan of 5x5 for a while, and I think I tweeted something at Dan and Merlin about back to work, and Dan saw that I had job seeking in my Twitter bio. So it all kind of just came from there.
So there's a good little advice for anybody who's looking for a job.
Yes. Always put job seeking in your bio. It really helps people. You never know how many people actually look at that when they see you. So
yeah,
that's very neat. Helpful.
So you started, it looks like August 2012.
Yes.
And in sort of general, broad terms, I guess, what are some of the things you do and look after with 5x5?
Well, a lot of producing work that I used to take care of, anything from writing reads for the hosts. What else? I mean, I work with sponsors a lot now. That's mainly my job now as account management, is working with all of our awesome sponsors and everything to do with them. So keeping them happy. I still get the reads from them a lot. But I'm trying to think what else. It's so hard. I do so many different things. I do anything from making fizzy water in the kitchen for everyone to, building IKEA furniture. So it's a broad job.
Right, which is what probably keeps it interesting day to day.
Exactly. Every single day is very, very different.
Yeah. And since I approached you about doing this, you've actually now, I mean, you were already a host on a few shows and sort of guest came on and either pulled in by Dan or were actually supposed to be on the show. So the show's like the frequency.
Yeah. Do we ever really know which one it is?
Yeah.
If I'm just being pulled in or do I actually need to be there? I'm not sure.
Or you force your way in, probably is what.
Exactly. Right. Take over
too.
The show, things like that.
So that's what, that's probably what happened, I guess, really, with the frequency, is it was sort of this hostile takeover, right? You said, Dan, you're doing not doing a great job.
Yes, I barged in. And I was like, "That's it. This is my show now." And I just threw a fit. No, he was like, you know, an everyday show is, you know, it kind of was taking a toll on us in a way. We had so much fun with it, and we miss it every day. But having it be a 1 day a week show has opened a lot of doors for to do more with the show, just in general. Kind of have more to talk about, you know, once you wait a whole week to, you know, to talk again. So that always helps.
Yeah. And so what's going forward, I guess, what's the sort of makeup of the frequency going to be like for now that you're in charge?
Well, as of right now, it is 1 day a week. We don't know if we'll go back to a daily show or not. For right now, I think what we're going to do is it's still a tech news show, and it's still like a fun news show. I know that we usually have a lot of different, you know, news links about kind of geek-tastic things. So we definitely are still going to have that. And it's going to be a little bit more segmented. You know, there's like Kickstarter of the week, app of the week. Trying to think what else. That's mainly it. I mean, just fun stuff that people can tune into and just kind of have a good time listening to without having to think they're going to miss something extremely important, like the news or anything like that.
So. Right. Because that's now being handled, of course, by Mike Hurley.
Yes.
Over on the news.
Senor Mike Hurley. Senor.
I'd actually asked Mike, I said, do you have any questions for Hattie that we can sneak in as like a secret
audio
question?
Yeah, what did he say?
He didn't get it to me. I don't know. Maybe he's still. It might be coming along the ship from Britain.
Yes, the telegram.
Yeah. I'll publish it in a few weeks after the fact. Do a little sound thing. What I was curious about with having you on, I guess, is just the idea of a lot of podcasters like myself. We're kind of either one man or woman ships and kind of doing everything, trying to do everything for better or worse. And kind of the idea of bringing someone on who is either, in your case, like now you're on air personality, as it were, a host and things like that, but also the other roles that you do. So just maybe talk a little bit more deeper, I guess, in terms of some of the things that you have done in your producer and we'll get into the sponsor stuff in a second, but
yeah.
And the producer role, like what does that actually entail for a given show? I don't know. I'm trying to think, say something like a Back to Work maybe, or I don't know which show is best to pick on for what you do the most sort of producing work for.
Well, since we've hired Danielle, a lot of that work is going to her now. But things that we both still do and that I did in the past was, it would be booking guests, lining up, shows for the following week. If, you know, if somebody was sick or somebody missed something, kind of moving scheduling around. And then it kind of bleeds into the account management job as well. And I think they kind of go hand in hand in a way, you know, making sure that everybody has sponsors, everybody's happy. That the hosts have the right reads, that the reads have the right codes. And then anything from rebuilding the room to buying, you know, new mics, new booms and things like that. I mean, it's kind of, there really isn't a limit. I mean, it's weird to say, but there really isn't much of a limit. I guess taking care of the Twitter, taking care of the chat room, you know, whenever they need taken care of, questions answered, things like that. Screening calls for quit, answering feedback from fans and things like that, the info account, and then any sponsor inquiries that come in, then that kind of, I guess, is more on the account management side.
Right. And that's the booking of the guests and sort of overall scheduling, especially now that 5x5 is like the recent envelopment of 70 decibels and bringing new shows on and that kind of thing. Like I'm looking at the 5x5.tv homepage now, which just redesigned. Congratulations.
Yes. It looks so good.
Yeah. It highlights, I guess, the, if I could do math stuff, I would probably be able to figure out how many shows there actually are there. But
I think there's, Dan, do you know that it's like 50?
I don't think we have 50. We have 50 shows. 50? That's nuts.
Something like that, I think.
There's 29 things.
29
on the homepage,
things, but. And then I think 50 total in the history of 5x5 or something. That's what it is.
Right.
And so, in acquiring more, left and right.
Yeah. So, but in terms of scheduling and stuff like that, that's obviously a bit of overhead, and that's where someone like you and Danielle come in. And but just in terms of like scheduling guests for individual shows and making sure things are all in order, any tips for folks who are sort of maybe just starting out, taking that step to like pitching a guest, a potential guest? How, what sort of, I guess you guys have a bit of web currency, what's the word I'm looking for, like people are aware of you, so it's a little easier maybe to
clout, I guess. Yeah. not the app, but just clout.
What's your clout rating for 5x5?
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're sending an email to some person who's on, you know, whether it's maybe Dan's wish list or whatever, or a mm-hmm. certain guest wish list for a show and things like that, or a sponsor, I guess, all as well, what sort of suggestions do you have for folks when they're making that sort of cold call or pitch or whatever?
Well, I mean, I would say just be genuine and never feel intimidated to reach out to them. I mean, the worst they can say is no. That's not even that bad. And you just move on to the next person and try again later. But I really think that, I mean, and Dan's really taught me this too, that just ask. It's the best way, and usually, and go about it in a very genuine way. You know, I enjoy your work and I think that you would be a great fit for the show. We'd love to talk with you, you know, and we'll make it easy for you. All you have to do is just Skype in. You know, the less work that the guests have to do, I think the more inclined they might be to come on the show. So,
yeah, and similarly for, I guess, flipping it now to sponsors, approaching sponsors, new sponsors. Is it to the point with 5x5, and you don't have to pull back the curtain all the way, so to speak, but is it to the point where you're sort of fielding returning calls from people, or are you still having to sort of go out and the impression I guess I would get is that 5x5 is big enough now, it's more like answering the questions and getting the checks from the sponsors, not that it's that easy, but you know what I mean, whereas someone who's just starting out is kind of like, I'm an unknown, here I am, you know, and sort of that stage of life, I guess, of a podcast. Mm-hmm. So where do you guys lie right now?
Well, I mean, we're constantly reaching out to sponsors and new sponsors because, I mean, if you take just the tech world in general, there's always something new that's being made, a product or an app or anything like that, that we want to talk about. And, you know, anything that's in the news lately is always a good place to start. You know, what the talk is surrounding at the time. So that's always a good place to start. And then also, we also have sponsor inquiries as well. And that's kind of the system that I manage in a way.
And there must be, do you have, I don't know, what kind of tools you have available that you're using for managing just, you know, when this sponsor is going to be on this show and who's going to be, I know I've listened to some episodes where, you know, it sounds like you have a binder of some sort. Is that a technical term?
That is just for here and that's just for Dan. Okay. And he doesn't even like the binder anyway. So prefers just the clipboard. So we have all options, clipboard, binder, just the sheets, whatever he wants that day.
The mood of the day.
But it's mainly email.
It's a nice way of saying I'm a little eccentric, but
yes,
yeah, she's correct.
He's an actor. No.
From the theater professional.
No, but it's mainly email. And then how we manage it is either, you know, Google Docs, spreadsheets kind of things, which is what we want to move over to mainly. And we've been using just calendar options for now, but we're streamlining it, and hopefully it should be even more easy to use soon.
Sweet. Well, sweet for you.
Yes, I'm very excited for that to happen.
And like as far as things like in the world of sponsorship, an app is coming out on a certain date and you're sort of scheduling that, you know, we need to have this app or this website launch or whatever, or feature, say with Squarespace or whatever, those kinds of things that happen, versus, and then you, because you have live streamed shows and then you also then obviously publish it out more or less the same day, if not same hour that it's finished, but getting back to the sponsors after the stuff, the show, and sort of like following up with them, I guess, what kind of things do you do there?
Mainly that's on their end in a way. Our editor drops markers, and we use time codes to kind of give those to sponsors for them to be able to, not so they don't have to scrub through each episode that they know that they're going to be on and try and find their spot. So we try and make it easy for them.
Right. Other angle, I guess, the thing that I'm sort of driving at with some of this stuff is that there's ways for people to become involved that maybe they don't think of besides just talking on a mic. And obviously you're a natural and you do really well when you're on air or on a podcast or on mic or whatever.
Oh, thank you.
with the guests and with Dan and things like that on Frequency and other shows. The thing I guess I'm sort of wondering about is suggestions for things that people might look at doing, ways to bring in other people who aren't necessarily directly on-air personality type folks, but still ways that they can help out with the show that you might suggest.
Every show has to be edited. So there's always editing audio things that you need to get done with that. Booking sponsors, keeping an office running, managing the sponsors, managing your invoicing hosts. So there are plenty and plenty of roles that people can step into without having to be on air. Maybe they want to be part of radio, but they don't really have the confidence to be on air. That's not their thing. There are plenty of ways to help out.
And one of the things you'd mentioned that you do help with sponsors is editing and even writing scripts. So without, again, I don't want to give away all the 5x5 trade secrets because that's copyright Dan Benjamin 2013. I keep forgetting that he's actually listening there then.
Yep, he's right there.
Yeah.
Well, she wanted me to come in.
I was on yours, so it's just how it goes.
I'm happy to be here.
Thanks, Dan. It's good I guess I should introduce, just in case somebody's wondering where this third voice, mystery voice, is coming from.
Hello, Chris. Don't worry.
Dan Benjamin. What is the title? Founder of 5x5 that you go by, right?
That's fine. Not yeah, Grandpa. Whatever.
Okay.
He's like, whatever.
Whatever. At this point, it doesn't matter. You're not interviewing me. Go back to her. I'm the guy that came up 5x5 a few years ago. That's it. No.
That's it.
Yeah. Hattie's run with it since. Right.
It's true. It's very true.
Editing scripts and stuff and sort of working on that, what do you call them? Clients, I guess, or the sponsor relations that you're working back and forth with. Sort of the stuff in my day job, I'm a web designer. And so often when I work with clients, they send me stuff and it's kind of like, good, glad you came to me because that's what I take care of is helping you make this look nice on the web. And so not trying to get you in trouble with any sponsors here, but how much of the sort of massaging of what they send you are you having to do, or are they pretty good these days as far as sending you really nice reads and things like that?
Well, I mean, it depends on the sponsor. Sometimes, they'll send a script that's like, this is the script that we use and everybody has to use this one. And that's how they like that, I guess. And then we have other sponsors that'll send us more bullet points and they're like, just kind of make it your own and ad lib and do whatever and I'll do whatever. And, but yeah, so that's always nice too. And I mean, I don't have a degree in English or anything like that, but I did I got good grades in English class. So I'm okay, writer. I think. I mean, do you enjoy the spots?
Well, yeah, I do. And that's something that I think I know a friend of mine that I do a show with, Tim Smith, he tweeted me just as a question to ask you about was, just scheduling and how do you go about selling the sponsorships? And I think it sort of comes back to the sponsor read as being, I think, there's audience numbers and all that kind of stuff is helpful, I'm sure, in selling sponsorships, like, you guys having however many thousands of listeners versus, Joe Blow, who just started his podcast with his mom and someone else listening, are going to be able to sell a little more for charge a little more and sell a sponsorship. But at the same token, I think what helps sell it obviously is Dan or whoever the host may be, the quality of the read that they do. And
that's very true.
I think that's something that is often underestimated in that whole process that, I know that there's times probably I forget however many years Dan's been doing this, but there's times I'm sure where he has had sponsors that aren't like his most favorite thing in the world to use, right? Like, do you know what I mean? And there's sometimes where you do read a sponsor. I have no doubt that he uses and tries out most, if not all, of the things that he's reading for, or whoever. I'm using Dan, but any of the hosts, and he does a great job of selling folks on it in not the sleazy, car salesman kind of way, but being authentic in it and, yeah, honoring what the person who is paying him to tell people about their thing are.
I mean, I think that's what 5x5 really prides itself on is a genuine read and, you know, that they make it their own, that it's not robotic or anything like that. So, I mean, I think that's really important for the sponsors too, because they really enjoy that and they get a lot of really good feedback from that as well.
Yeah. That's right. I guess with, as you expand, and this goes, this is sort of an interesting question, but not so much for, you know, individual podcasters, but as you guys add more shows and different shows, you know, if Mike is reading sponsor read on Command Space, let's say a future episode or whatever, you are sort of relinquishing some of that control of the quality of read. Not that I don't doubt Mike will do a great job. With his accent, he can sell anything, I'm sure.
I know. BBC over there.
Mr. BBC. But, yeah, and so you are sort of relinquishing some of that control, I guess, and maybe indirectly this is a question for Dan in a sense, but I think you can, because you're the one who has to deal with the sponsors, you know, do you have to then sort of follow up and sort of make sure that you're, I don't know what they're called, guest hosts or co-hosts or whatever, that Mike would be your, and future other folks that you have on the shows. You know, are you following up with them and that kind of stuff to make sure that, and you sort of have to send them a note, say, hey, Mike, you need to actually say the word Squarespace, not just some service that you like or whatever.
Well, I mean, we do trust our hosts. We do. They've all listened to shows that Dan has done, and they know how he expects it to be done, and they do a great job. If there's anything that ever needs to be edited or changed or, you know, updated, then we will hear from the sponsors and they'll let us know things like that. And it's always really helpful too. You know, and we love getting feedback from them, because it'll be things like, you know, oh, I can't believe Brett's read was like that. It was so funny, or whatever, things like that. So it's always nice to hear.
Yeah. I remember that's Brett Terpstra you're talking about. There's one episode I remember seeing everybody else and tweeting about, you have to listen to this one. It wasn't even like the context of, I don't even remember who he was interviewing, but like, just like, you have to listen to this purely for the sponsorship.
which I mean, that's great to hear.
Yeah. Makes your job easier.
It does.
Yeah. And looking at, I mean, you've got the sponsor gallery. I think that's new as well, newish. I don't know, new to me anyways, since last time I looked. It looks like it's updated as well, and four pages of...
That's actually a really a bug, like a legitimate bug in the CMS. That page shouldn't even be there.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. I'm absolutely serious. Okay. I got to take it off. I'll take it off there now.
So
he's editing right now.
I guess. That page that I was looking at
You can leave this in. I mean, but it's like legitimately, this is what happens when I'm also the only person writing the CMS. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a wonderful idea
at the
to
time.
Say, oh, look, you know, I'll put a gallery of all our sponsors. And that way, when people want to see the previous sponsors that we had, they'll be able to just go to one place and look at it. It'll be great. But in reality, it was awful because additional work to update.
Yeah.
And then the sponsors, of course, they see it and they say, well, we really liked it, but why are we on page 4?
Right.
Well, it's alphabetical.
Yeah.
They're like, Can we change?
I noticed you had the word in there, internet. Can you change it to web? Because we don't like being described as an internet company. We want to be a web company. So yeah.
And then you're like, okay, it's all over now. You got to tune in. And, you know, make sure that you're not missing out on... Dan's taking away stuff right now.
Yeah.
I didn't even see where he found it. Where did you find it?
He might take down another page
Oh, off this. He found it on the advertised page.
Yeah. Sneaky like that.
And that off there right now.
Yeah.
So I should have... What advice for somebody, I guess, pre-Dan editing this is that they should have come out with like an app called Zero Password, because that would have been right at the first. One password is...
Just no password.
Yeah. Or AAA book apart instead of just a book apart. The old phone book trick. Anyways, we digress. So that won't be there if you happen to go there.
You can read our wonderful sponsor testimonials page.
That's a great page to visit.
There you go. And that's, I guess that's another little tip. I guess some of those tips that folks may not recognize or see as obvious ways to sort of extra little help or thanks for sponsors, and also to attract new sponsors, is things like that, that you, those little touches that you guys have done. Is there other hidden pages that I'm not aware of? Maybe though.
Apparently, you're fine. <finding home.
laughs> Yeah, Chris is a good hunter.
Bug hunter. I just noticed, is the listener testimonial page, is that supposed to be there too?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm gonna check every page now as I go through. Make
yep,
sure.
Just every page. Be like, is this supposed to? Yes.
This back to work show, is that supposed to be?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. I think you sort of run the gamut of a lot of my questions as far as this kind of stuff. I'm sure my listeners of my show, anyways, I know would love to hear about. They like to hear about gear and tech and all that kind of stuff. But I know you guys did an episode of.
It was the episode of the frequency. I think it was. Oh, we're on 125 right now. So I think it was like 120, I want to say. Don't quote me. I don't know. I think if the Jackals were here, they would know. I think Dan's finding it right now. But we did a full breakdown of our whole setup. And I have a hard copy of that list somewhere. I just need to edit it down and make it, you know, make sure everything's correct before we release that. We might put it that. Dan, are we going to put that in the show notes for that episode or no? Just release it. Something like that. I don't know. Blog post, probably.
Somewhere on the blog, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Which that's, again, like I said, blog.5by5.tv is where.
Yes. And the blog is a great place to go. It's being updated much more regularly now. So you can find any kind of information that you need on that.
Mm-hmm. Which actually, that brings me to an interesting point, I guess, is that often I know when I look at other websites, podcast sites, they don't have a blog. They have their podcast list of episodes. And it's something I know it's hard for me to think about because you do a lot of, you're recording the episode, you're editing it, publishing it, promoting it. And the last thing you sort of think about doing is writing any sort of blog, general actual writing on your website. And that's something I know that you guys had just sort of restarted. And is that sort of an effort to just another marketing channel kind of idea, or what's the motivation behind
that? Well, I mean, you know, our listeners always want to hear more about what we're doing, and you know, we owe it to them to really announce anything new that's coming out and make sure that everybody knows, you know, what's going on and new stuff that we've acquired, like the 70 decibels thing and things like that. You know, I think they want to hear about that. I would, if I was a listener, I would want to hear.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think.
Cross promotion of shows too. You know, right now we're doing interviews with the with different hosts of 5x5 shows, so that listeners can, you know, maybe they only listen to one certain show and they're like, oh, who's this Kevin Purdy person? And they're like, oh, I didn't know this. And maybe they might get a new listener.
Yeah, well, exactly. Because that's, I think there's a bunch of. Like the Jackals that you referred to, folks in the chat room and listeners and sort of avid fans of 5x5 who probably consume or listen to most everything or at least a majority of the shows that you do. Like we said, you know, 29 odd shows plus other ones hidden around the website.
And growing.
And there's listeners, I'm sure, who are completely unaware, even though it seems for someone who's a huge fan of 5x5, you know, even like myself, that they would be unaware that there's a show called Back to Work with Merlin Mann or another show with Andy Nocco or whatever, all those other shows.
Yep, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, totally. I think, a lot of people would, because at first glance to me, it's kind of like, well, why wouldn't you be aware of those shows? They're really popular, really good and all that stuff. But yeah, so that's good. I'm saying I approve of your
blog
rating. And I think that idea, I guess what I was getting at with my original question about having a blog is sometimes it is nice to like read read, I guess, primarily for a blog, but just about the folks that you listen to all the time. Because as much as it's in your ear all the time, every week, every day, whatever, depending on how frequently you're listening, it's nice to actually read about the stuff, the people, the things that you're also a fan of. So
just another, you know, another route to connect with people and our listeners and things like that. So,
yeah. One of the things I ask folks on the show as I am sort of wrapping up, I guess, what, I don't know if you had time or if you even listen to podcasts, if you have time to listen to podcasts, but do you listen to other podcasts? Which ones do you listen to?
Well, obviously I listen to any show that Dan is on because I'm in the office, but,
you get the special live, I guess anybody can tune in live, but. You get the really live version.
Yes. Usually either in the room or just in the other room next door. There's a design podcast called On the Grid. And I like that one a lot. I started listening to the Roderick on the line, but then lost track with that a bit. I'm really busy in the day and there's not a lot of time to listen to other things. But my little sister, some people might know her as Gus, but her name is Katie. She showed me a podcast called Mike and Tom Eat Snacks. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's absolutely no point to the podcast at all. It's just two comedians. I forget who the second one is, but it's Mike Liam Black and someone else. And they're ridiculous and funny the entire time. I like it. So those are the ones I listen to.
Yeah. That's a common sort of response to this question on this show is that, you know, podcasters obviously don't have a lot of time to listen to other podcasts because all they're doing is podcasts. But, or you don't have a commute, like I think, or much of a commute, which I know that's for me, it changed when I didn't have a commute anymore. It's a lot harder to listen to podcasts because, yeah.
I used to listen to podcasts a lot more in school.
Like during class?
Because I was taking all of my art classes, I would, you know, be screen printing for 17 hours or something on Saturday. And, you know, you get tired of music. You really do. It's easy to.
Yeah.
Or you're like, oh, great. I've listened to this whole album 8 times. So it's time for something different. And it's nice. It's a nice change to listen to voices and to also learn things at the same time while you're also making things at the same time. So that's good too.
And do you find, this is something I actually just when you're talking, remind me of a question I asked Dan, like this, you know, full-time job, obviously doing producing and all the stuff that you do with 5x5. Do your peers understand, like your friends and family understand that this is actually a job that you do?
Yes. It's interesting. Some people are like, oh yeah, podcasting. Oh, what, you know, what's the name of the site? I want to go check it out. And my aunt, my uncle, my sister, my mom, my dad, they all listen to the frequency every single day. And I know that that my parents listen to Amplified, and I think an Almanac and Back to Work and things like that. But then there's some friends that are like, so what do you actually do? And I'm like, okay, do you know internet radio? Let's start there. And they're like, kind of like serious radio. I'm like, not really. I'm like, podcasts, is that a word? And they're like, I don't know what that means. I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah. It's gotten a little better than it used to be. I know when I first started doing some podcasting, it's kind of like saying I play World of Warcraft or whatever in my basement.
Exactly.
Get the same kind of look. Yeah.
Like I run a Tumblr or something like that. And how is that a job?
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a particular app that you like to listen to or program, as they used to call it?
Well, I use all the 5x5 apps,
of course,
to listen live. I love the one on the computer. I use that one a lot. I like Instacast a lot. That's the one I used to use.
All right. Another vote for Instacast.
Yeah.
Got my running tally. I think it's the winner so far on this show anyway.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, Hattie. Where can folks find you, follow you, speak at you?
They can on Twitter. It's Hattie Bird, H-A-D-D-I-E Bird. And then on Alpha, it's Hattie. And I'm trying to think. Dan, should I give them my personal site or nah? Or they jackal it up?
No, give them. You got to give them a Twitter.
I did.
You got to give them an Alpha, Hattie. You give them your domains.
I know, but which ones? I have so many.
Hattie.tv.
Yes.
That's the best one.
It will say that I'm currently working on my site.
Oh, you don't have the redirection set up.
Have it set up, don't we?
No, we'll set it up by the time this show airs, if it ever airs. Hattie.tv will point to your new
straight thing. To the thing. Because I don't want it to go to the sites under construction. I hate that one.
We'll fix that.
That's what happens when you graduate and immediately get a job. You have no time for your personal site, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I guess the frequency, we could put that one in there too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
5x5.tv/frequency.
Cool.
Learn more. Listen there.
Yeah. Up to 125 episodes. I don't know how far back it goes because it was
started in October of 2012, I think is when we began. I think, I don't know. I can't, I feel as, there's so many times I've had to write this. So I think it's October 12th was the very first day, actually.
All right. So there's lots of episodes to go back and listen to. more and more and more of Hattie plus future.
Yes, future and all the soundboard and all of the soundboard sounds.
Right. Does Dan have it queued up? Is there, for anybody who's not aware, on the frequency and I don't know, random shows, probably it makes an appearance.
Just anywhere where I am, apparently.
Yeah. Dan has a secret app that he uses for playing back sound clips, not only of Hattie, but of movie clips.
The little long box.
There's one now.
So, there you go.
Yep, there's so many. And did you know that that actually goes on throughout the day in the office, not just while we're on the air as well?
I did not know that.
Yep.
So you'll just play it. So is there speakers that he's playing it through? Or do you have like...
Just I walk into the room and it's on his laptop and right. It just starts playing whenever I have a question or anything like that.
I'm picturing like, you know, The Office, the TV show The Office,
mm-hmm.
back when, what's his name? The old boss, I'm trying to blank.
Michael Scott.
Mm-hmm. Michael Scott was there and picturing him. I know Dan's not Michael Scott, but I'm picturing him sitting there or someone trying to ask him a serious question or, excuse me, sir, I have a crest for some time off because my grandma passed away and then, you know, queuing this.
Yes, that's pretty much how it is. All I can think of is Crentist, Dan, that's your fault. Is whenever I think of The Office, is you have a dentist named Crentist. It's the best episode.
All
okay,
right.
this is where it gets crazy. Okay, biscuits. There it is.
There we go. So yeah, that's where I was joking with Dan in the end of his episode where, you know, we should just interview you as the soundboard, but
right.
And see how far it gets. And I think we'll do that at some point here, but not today.
I think it would be really testing his skills. So I think
he needs to practice.
He needs
to limber up. Yeah. Was I just talking to the soundboard right there? I don't even know.
No, that was me. Okay. That was live, Hattie.
All right. Well, thanks, Hattie, for coming on. And for those who are listening live, this will be released in a couple weeks on my network, sskTN.com. And I will figure out what's going to happen with it there over on 5x5 and specials and all that stuff.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. And
the pleasure is all mine.
Thanks for listening to Show Me Your Mic on the SSKTN Podcast Network. Follow along on Twitter at SSKTN or like us on Facebook.com/SSKTN. Be sure to visit SSKTN.com for interviews with other podcasters, as well as learn about other shows we produce, such as Welcome to the Internet, Too Lazy to Blog, and Lost in Lemon.